CBS News. Friday is the day the White House is supposed to turn over subpoenaed material to Special Prosecutor Leon Jaworski, but some sort of compromise may be in the works. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. CBS legal correspondent Fred Graham reports the threatened confrontation between the White House and the Special Prosecutor over the subpoenaed documents will not take place as expected tomorrow. The subpoena called for the president to turn over documents reportedly relating to allegedly illegal campaign finance practices. Graham says after additional negotiations with Jaworski's office, the White House is expected to release some of the documents and negotiations will continue on the others. In other related matters, the White House has confirmed that some of those 42 conversations sought by the House Judiciary Committee were not recorded because a tape ran out in the president's office in midday on April 15, 1973. It's estimated that some 10 crucial conversations between President Nixon and various presidential aides and cabinet officers took place later on that day. More news after this.
The sun is shining, things are growing, things are going well with you and me.
A future planned together, a rich full life together, things are bright as they can be.
We're helping 40 million people, 40 million people who know the future is now. That's like the wild.
The future will be here in a moment. Don't let it take you by surprise. At Metropolitan Life, we've spent over a century helping people prepare for the future. And Metropolitan can do the same for you.
At Metropolitan Life, we help to plan your future, because the future is now.
Secretary of State Henry Kissinger returned to Washington Thursday night from Moscow. He arrived without an agreement for a new nuclear weapons accord with the Soviet Union. Kissinger had hoped to lay the groundwork for a presidential trip to the Soviet Union this summer and the official signing of the arms agreement. Some critics are suggesting the timing of the trip would be beneficial to Mr. Nixon in diverting attention from the impeachment investigation. Bob Schieffer reports on a news conference held by Defense Secretary James Schlesinger.
Responding to questions, Schlesinger said the president would never agree to a bad nuclear arms agreement just to save his embattled presidency. And in effect, he said that if the Russians think otherwise, they are wrong.
He desires to go wherever he can in order to maintain the improved climate of our relations with the Soviet Union. And he will, I think, be considerate and forbearing. But I do not believe that he would do anything that would endanger the long-run security of the United States.
On another subject during the hour-long session, Schlesinger took issue with Armed Services Chairman F. Edward Hebert, who says the all-volunteer army is a flop. To the contrary, Schlesinger says it's on the verge of complete success. Bob Schieffer, CBS News, the Pentagon.
C. Bradford Cook, former chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission, testified Thursday that Maurice Stans once admitted lying to a federal grand jury investigating the activities of financier Robert Vesco. Cook said Stans also persuaded him to lie. The testimony came during the Mitchell-Stans conspiracy trial in New York. Randolph Hearst says $4 million in additional ransom money is available and will be paid when his daughter Patricia is released.
It's been a long time, but I am personally convinced, and I really think she is, that Patricia is well, and that she is okay, and that she's unharmed, and I believe what the SLA says.
Randolph Hearst, CBS News continues after this.
Even if someone served them a slice of beef, they couldn't bite into it. Their teeth are too weak. I'm not talking about some people off in Africa or Asia. I'm talking about Americans. American children. It's really tragic how many thousands of them there are in this country whose teeth will literally rot because they'll never receive basic dental care. They may not even own a toothbrush. What hurts is that it takes so little for any one of us to help them. The same dollar, for instance, that buys you two packs of cigarettes can buy three American children the first toothbrushes they've ever owned. I'm Eli Wallach. Won't you give up some cigarettes so some American children can have their first toothbrushes? Send your dollar to Americans for Children's Relief, Box 5050, Stamford, Connecticut. That's Box 5050, Stamford, Connecticut. $1. Oh, and of course, if you can afford more, give more.
Natalia Solzhenitsyn plans to leave the Soviet Union Friday to rejoin her exiled husband in Switzerland. Mrs. Solzhenitsyn is concerned that the Soviet Union might prohibit some of her husband's writings from leaving the country. For the second time in 8 days, the nation's banks are raising their prime lending rates. At most banks, the prime is now 9.25. But New York's Bankers Trust, the nation's seventh largest bank, lifted its rate to 9.5%, effective on Monday. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
Teachers in the Beaverton School District voted today to authorize their executive board to call a strike if necessary. The vote was 561 to 404. The board is meeting tonight, probably will approach the school district tomorrow on the strike proposal. The Portland-Vancouver weather forecast calls for few showers and partial clearing periods through this evening. Rain late tonight and tomorrow morning. Showers Friday afternoon through Saturday. The lows the mid-40s, the highs the mid-50s. In downtown Portland, it's now 50 degrees.
Hello. Are you enjoying your lunch today?
Very fine, thank you. My compliments to the Captain's Corner.
You can always expect delicious dining at the Captain's Corner restaurant and lounge, and you can expect to receive personal, friendly service. Individual attention to patrons is one of the things which makes us so popular. Lunch, dinner, beverages in the lounge. There's a corner on quality at the Captain's Corner, downtown on Southwest 12th between Jefferson and Main in the Century Tower building.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. All peoples have their separate legends, their superstitions, and their fears. Julius Caesar once said that all Gaul is divided into three parts. But whatever their political alignments, the Gallic people shared their legends in common, and none more persistent and accepted than the belief in the second sight. Usually called a gift, but one wonders if perhaps it is far more the reverse of that.
No. No. No!
It rolls. What?
Oh, Granny, Bridget, I must have fallen asleep.
But what was troubling you in the dream?
Oh, Granny, it was terrible. They were topping a big redwood on Peekman's Hill. And Jason swung over on his rig to cross-cut with Red Pelly. He was trimming away some branches with a small chainsaw when all of a sudden he sheared right through his support line. And I saw him fall like a stone, clear down into the ravine. Oh, it was awful, Granny. He was just like I had seen it with my own eyes. Oh, Granny. Oh, Granny, don't cry. It was only a dream, love.
Oh, don't I wish it were, child. Oh, the Lord prove me wrong, but I'm afraid you're cursed with the second sight.
Oh.
Our mystery drama, The Unearthly Gift, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Betsy Palmer. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Ever see a beer drinker pour his beer real easy down the side of the glass? Maybe you do it yourself. If so, the Budweiser brewmaster thinks you're missing something, especially if you're a Budweiser drinker. You see, Bud is brewed, so it will kick up a healthy head of foam. Exclusive Beechwood aging and natural carbonation make it a lively brew. Well, anyway, pouring Bud plunk down the middle of the glass helps bring out the best in that clean white Budweiser foam and real beer aroma. It also helps you get the full benefit of a taste, smoothness, and drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Remember, brewing beer right does make a difference. Next time, pour that Budweiser right down the middle and see for yourself. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Webster's Dictionary defines mystery as anything strange and inexplicable, a puzzle. There's no mystery why more and more people are choosing to shop at Jansen Beach Center. 60 stores and services to choose from, a pleasant atmosphere with comfort-controlled enclosed malls, friendly service, and plenty of free parking. Don't puzzle about where to shop. Visit Jansen Beach Center soon. Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
It makes sense to invest in your heart. Who knows? It may save your life. I'm the Oregon Heart Association's Wise Owl, and I know. Reduce if overweight. Cut down or stop cigarette smoking. Have regular medical checkups. Exercise regularly. Reduce cholesterol intake. Control high blood pressure. Follow my advice, and you can reduce your risk of heart attack and stroke. It makes sense to invest in your heart.
Begin with two definitions of second sight. The unearthly capacity to see things impossible for ordinary people to see, or the ability to foretell events in the future from the shadows they cast before them. A talent bequeathed to a large, raw-boned, and rather plain girl called Ruth Ann Mitchell. She and her grandmother, Bridget Carney, are the only women at a lumber camp high in the Bitterfoot Range, which sprawls across Idaho, Washington, and half of British Columbia. Ruth and Granny cook and keep house for the lumberjacks.
And what can I say, Mumsel? And Granny, we feel very bad, especially Big Red. He was up there with Jason.
I told him 100 times to use the double rig, but he never wanted to listen.
Where is Jason?
He is in the wagon, Miss Ruth. I will have to take him down the mountain to Rock Fall and the main office.
I want to see him.
Ah, no, I think that is not a good thing. He fell 500-600 feet into that ravine.
I want to see him. Let her, if she wants. Now, you'll hurry back? Just as soon as I'm sure Jason gets a burial be fitting him. You've got room to take me, Frenchie.
Ah, mais oui. If you are sure you must.
It's what I owe him. Not enough, but all I can do. Oh, Granny, if I knew, why couldn't I have stopped it?
How can you hold back the hand of God, child?
Diable. This is one bad road.
Want me to drive, Benji?
You, a woman.
Well, I know it like hands. My daddy was a straw boss at Greenwood's camps, and from the time I was 11, I grew up there.
And your father, when did he die?
Oh, in the big fire. When the South Slope burned up.
And your mother?
She died having me.
So you stay on with Granny. She is your only family?
Yes. All I have to love.
And the Jason, too, you lost.
Oh, Jason. Jason was... He was kind to me.
Why do you stay at the lonely camp like Greenwood with a bunch of roughnecks like us?
Where else would I go?
To the city, no, where perhaps you find a nice young man who...
Me? A plain, awkward country gal who stands head high or higher than most men and knows nothing but to just cook and to do the chores.
Jason did not wear so plain. What did you mean about Jason when you said you might have stopped it?
Well, I had sort of a dream. I mean, hours before you came back to camp. Just when it might have happened. I thought, Frenchie, that I saw the whole thing just the way it happened.
My family was from Bretagne in France. We are also like the Irish, what you say, Gaelic. There also is Le Vieux de l'Ombre, what you say, the second sight. That is a gift you have.
I don't know, Frenchie. I just don't rightly know. I don't suppose I really ever want to know.
Pardon me, ma'am. You Miss Mitchell?
Yes, I am.
I'm Tim Farrell, new jack for Greenwoods. Told me down at the office I'd be riding up the mountain with you.
Well, that's right, Mr. Farrell. They're just gassing up the old Jeep. Have you got your gear ready?
Most of it. What you see on me? My duffel bag and axe are right there by the pumps.
Well, then I guess we're ready to go. So first, I guess I should say howdy.
Ain't used to shaking hands with a lady, but put it there. How about making it Tim? I ain't used to Mr.
Oh, yeah, well, my name's Ruth Ann.
All right, Ruth Ann. Do we travel?
Best we do. It's a rough trail, and I really prefer going it while it's still light.
This old Jeep handles real nice. You were right about the trail. Maybe I should have let you drive.
Well, I knew you figured I shouldn't. It's kind of nice to be a woman and just to sit down. Besides, you handle the Jeep real good. Farrell, You couldn't be Irish.
Some generations back, mostly. No, I'm just a roving lumberjack. Born in Montana, never been out of 7 northwestern states in the good old U.S. of A.
Oh.
I don't figure you for all of that Irish either.
Well, not so much on my father's side. But all the way down on my mother's. Oh, wait till you meet her mother, Granny Bridget. She cooks chow for all you Jacks.
Good chow?
Best you've ever tasted.
And I'm in love with her already. And what do you do?
Well, I help her.
Well, now there's something to consider. If Granny comes through as strong as you promise, I may be half in love with you already without knowing.
Ah. Now, that Tim Farrell you brought back here 3 weeks ago. Ah, he's a charmer, he is.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But what, dear? Well, I don't know how to talk about it, Granny.
You see something in his future?
I don't want to talk about it yet.
Yet?
It just doesn't come clear. It's a full moon tonight. I reckon I'm just going to walk myself some more before I go to bed.
Is it Tim you're going to meet?
It's no one at all but my own thoughts. Or maybe just to be alone and remember Jason. Don't wait up for me, Granny.
I'll not close an eye till I know you're back home, safe and sound.
Real pretty moon, ain't it, Ruth?
I suppose, Big Red.
I kind of hope you figure like I do. It ain't hung up there for nothing.
Don't look to me. I'm not your woman. Not now, or ever could be.
You'd still shuck me off even with Jason gone?
Or with Jason here. You and me have nothing for each other. And don't you make no move to me. Even with Jason not here to stand between us.
Big as you are, you think you could hold me off even if I really had a mind to?
Look, I hope I don't have to try.
I don't guess you'll have to, Ruthann, as long as there are three of us.
Who asked you here, Tenderfoot? Put out.
If I'm not wanted. Ruthann?
Let's just not make no fuss, all right? I'm on my way back to bed anyways. Good night.
Why don't you mind your own business, Farrell?
I was about to ask you the same question.
I'm warning you. You're new on this crew. Don't ask for any trouble.
I don't. Just the same, don't push any on me, brother. And lay off of Ruthann. She don't like you no more than I do.
She come down whoops so bad, eh? That deep?
No sight more beautiful. No sound near the heart.
When you start sweeping your big rat and me, we cut out the next big tumble, no?
Okay.
Hand me the big kettle. There's a love, Ruth. Ruth?
Oh, I'm sorry, Granny. I was thinking of Tim Farrell.
Oh. I thought maybe that walk under the moon last night might not be all by yourself. Did you meet him then?
Yeah. Good, I did, too. Big Red was pestering me again, just like before Jason died.
You tell him. He as much as lays a finger on you, and I'll put broken glass in his grits. Now, don't you let that blowhard bother you.
Well, it's not him that I'm worried about, Granny. It's Tim.
Why?
I'm trying to fight it. But I see it. There's death. The shadow of death over Tim's shoulder. And I'm somehow in the shadow, too. Oh, Granny, why do I have to see it? And still know that I can't stop it?
Oh, no, Mavornin. Don't wreck your heart with what can't be changed.
I told you before, Granny. I won't sit by if...
What is it, Colleen? What are you staring at?
I see him now. They've topped a tree. And Tim's stripping it. He's all alone in a... No, no! I've got to stop it. I've got to stop it.
Dear Mary in heaven, watch over my lamb. Whatever the Lord... has marked her for.
In silent supplication, an old woman prays for the one person she has left to love. A tortured girl with a terrible and unasked gift. What has that inner eye revealed to Ruthann as she races up the lumber trail to try to stop whatever threatens Tim Farrell? I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K presents
the good, the bad, and the heavy.
Why is that cowboy wearing a ball and chain?
Because carrying around extra pounds can be just like carrying around a ball and chain.
How symbolic.
Well, it is, senor.
Give me the Special K breakfast.
Here you go. For a Special K, it's the milk, orange juice, and coffee. Ah. Say, don't I know you from someplace?
You probably don't recognize me with my ball and chain. I used to be 10 pounds lighter, but I'm getting back that way by exercising and eating smart at every meal. Starting with this here Special K breakfast.
What's so special?
It's less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious. It's going to help me get rid of this here ball and chain.
Your horse will be glad to hear that.
Another ball and chain. Fight the dust.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K.
That's right.
Good night.
John Jones, statistic. Born with cleft feet and cleft palate.
Shirley Smith, statistics, born blind.
Tom Kelly, statistics, born with an open spine.
Statistics, children born with birth defects. 250,000 of them every year. One out of every 14 babies.
Small statistics with a whole life ahead of them.
Small statistics who cry and think and feel and want to laugh.
Why should life deny them good health at birth?
The March of Dimes leads the fight for this right.
Good health at birth. Good health at birth. Good health at birth.
Through medical service programs, public education, and scientific research.
So that one day the ultimate goal will be reached.
The prevention of all birth defects.
But birth defects are forever unless you help.
Please, will you give to the March of Dimes?
At the stand of trees, the lumberjack crew is thinning out. Frenchy and Chuck Turkle are on the big crosscut, finishing the high cut, while Big Red, having finished the notch, is now driving the wedges. Down the mountain, Tim is methodically stripping the branches from the topped tree, his back towards them. This is the picture Ruth Ann saw in her mind's eye. Sees now in actuality as she struggles breathlessly up the slope.
Tim! Tim!
Ruth Ann! What is it?
Run! Run the tree!
I'm not in its path!
Look back! Look back!
What? Ruth! Ruth! Run to the side! Run to the side!
I sure would never want one closer than that. You are right, Ruth Ann.
You covered me with your body.
Well, you risked your life to try to save me. I can't figure why we're not playing pool. That tree was headed straight for where I was standing. What made it turn aside just far enough to miss us?
The hand of God.
Miss Rose, Tim... How are you right now?
No, it's all right, Frenchie.
I don't know what happened. All paths were set for 45 degrees off your line.
Ah, that no good, Charlie.
Sure you ain't neither of you hurt.
I took a pretty good lick across the back from one of the branches.
No, don't move, Tim.
No, I can't keep lying on you.
I know Miss Ruth is right. Charlie has gone for the stretcher crew. Don't move till they are here.
Yeah, but I can't keep lying.
I don't mind, Tim. I don't want you to move.
You listen to a woman when she talk. If there is something and your back is broke,
yes. You
move. You risk your life. Why take a chance?
Well. That was a powerful good bowl of soup, Ruth Ann.
I'm glad you liked it. Here, let me take the tray. How's your back today?
Oh, it's tolerable. Now I know that there ain't nothing broke, I feel I better be getting back on my feet and go.
No, sir. You just stay right where you are till the doctor says that you can rise.
Ruth Ann, tell me something.
I can.
Where were you going when you come up the mountain that day?
Why do you ask?
I don't know. I had the feeling. I mean, I hadn't even yelled timber before you seemed to know that that was a maverick tree and it wouldn't fell right.
Well, maybe it was just intuition. I was born and bred in tree country and around camps and I've got to get back down. Granny needs my help.
Ruth Ann?
Yeah.
I want to thank you for saving my life.
Well, if I had anything to do with it, I'm glad.
Maybe someday I can find a way to make up for it.
So it's taken you are with our boy Ian upstairs.
Tim. Well, he saved my life.
I thought it was t'other way around.
I mean, well, the branch he took across the shoulders would have... It would have caught me right across my neck, Granny, and snapped it like a chicken's.
He's a good lad. Are you in love with him?
Tim's not for me, Granny. Or any man.
Ah, now, Makushla. What makes you say the like of that?
You know, Granny, I don't want the gift, but I can't escape it. It's like a lead weight around my neck. Or around my heart. Did my mother have it?
Kathleen? Yes, she did.
And did she know about my father?
Not before she married him. Or she would never have married him. It never comes till we're well out of our teens.
But, Granny, did she know that he was to die so young?
She knew.
And about herself?
She knew that, too.
And knowing that I would kill her in childbirth, she still went ahead and had me?
Now, there's always the chance the good Lord will change his mind. Look at you and Tim.
Only he hasn't.
What?
Granny, I wish I could see it clearer. I stopped it once, but I don't know if I ever could again. Tim wears the shadow of violent death like a collar. And somehow I'm the one who's hanging it there. Oh, Granny. Granny, I don't know what to do.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, Jack.
How's it going?
Well, I reckon I'm about ready to come back and pull my weight. I'm getting tired of just chopping firewood.
Yes, putting you back in shape, though.
I hope.
You sure are one lucky tree, Jack. When that big old tree kicked around and started to fall out of line, you was dead at its tracks. And then we seen Ruthann throw up her hands, and by dad, if we both couldn't swear on a stack of Bibles, that old tree didn't just veer off to the left, so she just missed you.
I guess the wind caught her.
It must have been. Though I don't rightly remember any wind that day.
Chuck. I want to ask you if you remember something else about that day.
Well, sure, ask away.
You and Frenchie were making the saw cut. But Big Red cut the notch, and he was setting the wedges. Right?
Oh, yeah?
And that tree was lined up to fall due south?
Yes, sir, Tim. That was the line.
And you know I was working away on the east. 45 degrees pretty near out of the fall line.
Well, yes, you were for sure, Tim.
Then how come she turned so out of line?
Well, now, sometimes you'll get a tree that has a real tough core or twister on you.
You or Frenchie ever had that happen to you before?
Well, now, not as you'd say, but I've heard tell
about Big Red.
Well, you'd have to ask him.
Doesn't he go around bragging he can fell a tree on a dime and he ain't never missed?
Well, I have heard him say that, but...
Yeah, well, maybe I just will go ask him.
Look here, Tim. You better watch your step. You get him riled up. Big Red is bad medicine.
Hold it just a minute before you go inside, Chuck.
Oh, hi, Big Red.
What was you and Tim Farrell getting your heads so close together over up there by the woodpile?
Oh, we was just chinning.
I seen he was asking you a powerful lot of questions. I'd like to know them questions and your answers.
Big Red, you're like to break my arm.
I might just do that if you don't loosen up.
Well, I don't want to make no trouble.
Any trouble I'll handle. You talk. Don't leave nothing out. I want every word.
Now, don't take on so, girl. You're in love with a boy. It's that, isn't it?
Yes, Granny. I am in love with Tim. But that's only a little part of it.
Now, don't be too sure. Is he in love with you?
Oh, Granny, how could he be? I'm a plain...
We won't go through that go-round again.
Granny, I'm trapped. First of all, I have the vision that all I bring to him is danger. And second, well, if I want him to love me, how can I be sure that I'm not using the power to make him?
I brought you some fresh wood for the stove. Hey, did I break in on something?
Sure, not at all, Tim. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I guess I'm about back to where I was, thanks to Ruth Ann.
You'll excuse me, Granny Bridget and Ruth Ann, but I got a little business here, can't we?
You get yourself out of my kitchen, Red Pilly, and all your riffraff with you.
Not till something gets straightened out.
Well, speak up and go.
I'm talking to you, Farrell. And this time you ain't hiding behind any skirts. Chuck Turkle here tells me you're bad-mouthing me. Trying to say I dropped a tree across your back.
I hadn't faced you with it yet. I wanted to get some more proof. But so long as you fetch the issue, that's what I have in mind.
Glad you leave it on the table.
Now, Ed, why you do this? Why you try
to... Frenchie. I'll handle this. Mr. Farrell, I'm calling you out. Pick your weapon. Knives, axes, peavey poles, or just bare hands. You and me's got a claim to settle.
A claim?
Well, let's just call it a plain falling out.
Don't pay him any heed.
You keep out of this, Ruth Ann.
Indeed I won't. You're all like a bunch of children, except that you're playing with lies.
Ruth Ann... Maybe I want to be caught out.
I'll stand no nonsense like this in my kitchen. Near under 50 years I've served this camp. And I've never tolerated brawling in my kitchen. So you'll all take yourself out of here before I...
Hey, Granny.
Come on, Bridget. Go back, you old kids. Give her some air.
Oh.
Ruth Ann, is it her heart?
I don't know. I've never seen Granny sick before.
Frenchie. Leave us your deal. Go bring the wagon. We're taking her to town and the nearest doctor.
You speak well. I bring the wagon to the door.
Granny.
It's nothing. It's just a little... It's a little fainting spell.
Oh, darling.
Maybe I'm getting too old for so much excitement. Where's Ruth?
Oh, no, I'm right here beside you.
Put your arms... around me, Makushla.
All right, now the rest of you stand back. Don't crowd her.
Move. I'm still crowding you, Farrell.
Not now, Big Red. There's a time for everything. Yours and mine will come.
Name it.
When I take Ruth Ann and Granny Carney down the mountain and make sure Granny has proper care, I'll be back.
With Ruth Ann?
That's up to her. If I had my
if
way...
If you're coming back, Tim, I'm coming too.
Why?
There are 45 lumberjacks that still got to be fed till other arrangements are made. Granny will insist on that, and then...
Then what?
Whatever's got to be unwound among us, it's going to take the three of us to do it.
How much does Ruth's second sight... now see of the future? How much can she affect it? And how? Is the shadow of what's to come going to engulf her? Or can it be dispersed and blown away? Is the unearthly gift something that can prevail against earthly circumstance? We'll return shortly with Act 3.
Will everyone around the table please touch hands with the person next to you? Good. Now we must have absolute silence while I try to establish contact. Is there someone here? If there is someone here, tap twice. Do you have a message for anyone here? Tell us your message.
Wait no longer.
Tell us what you want us to do.
Wait no longer. File your federal income
tax return now and avoid the last-minute rush and the pressure that causes mistakes.
Someone has broken the circle.
Oh, that was George. He never likes to be late for anything.
This message brought to you on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? The Better Business Bureau knows.
Wednesday, 10 o'clock. I'm back at the office working on the case when my secretary brings me the mail. Thanks, kid. The usual stuff. Then I see it. It's addressed to me, resident. Inside, a fake rabbit's foot. The pitch, a $2 donation or send back the rabbit's foot. My problem, what to do about it.
I'll help you with good advice from the Better Business Bureau.
Oh, yeah? Spill it.
If you receive unordered merchandise in the mail, you are under no obligation to return it or pay for it.
Thanks, pal. You're okay.
Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Rock Falls boasts a livery stable, three assorted garages, a choice of hotels, no hospital, but a small clinic with four beds and a first-rate, if overburdened, general practitioner. It couldn't have mattered less. The most efficient and highly staffed hospital would not have saved Bridget's tired heart. Like a stout old watch, the bearings were worn, the mainspring slackened.
Are you there, Ruth Ann?
I'm here, Granny.
I'm going away, you know.
Oh, no.
Yes, in your eyes, Mavourneen, you know. Promise me something.
What?
You won't go back to that camp.
Granny, who's to cook for all the men?
They'll find another. There ought to be something better in life for you.
I don't know what it should be.
You're telling me that you and Tim...
Granny, Granny, me and Tim are a dream of yours. Because you want only the best for me. But even if it could be, you know what lies between us.
The gift.
Or by another name. Curse.
Where is he now?
He's gone back to camp.
And you let him go?
How could I stop him? And I was needed here.
No longer. Now go and follow him.
And leave you here.
My time is used up. Come close.
Granny, I'm never very far away from you.
Soon. Soon you will be. Let me say this while I can. Some of us are the lucky ones. I was.
How?
I had the gift. As well. Little I wanted it. It was clearer than yours. So I knew just exactly what to expect. I knew your grandfather, like your mother's poor husband, would have gone from me early.
Granny.
Forgive me, child. I was just looking down the long corridor of time that I've left behind. Where was I?
It doesn't matter, Granny.
Oh, yes.
Just
yes.
Rest.
Yes, t'was this. About the gift. It came to me late and left me early. I can wish you only the same. The earlier, the better.
You mean suddenly the second sight stopped? It wasn't there.
That's what I mean. If I still had it, wouldn't I be able to read better for what you're to do?
How can you know if it's gone?
It's like love. When love comes, You can't mistake it if it's for real. And when the gift goes, you'll know it. Just as sure. I love you, Ruth Ann. My love shall make you free.
Granny. Granny? Oh, Granny. What will I ever do without you?
Logging rule. This contest is to the finish. By selection of both contestants, there is no weapon but the human arm. First, I ask each if they must fight. Big Red.
No man's gonna make the kind of charges Tim Farrell's been making about me behind my back.
And Tim.
Red Pelly rules this camp and all of you by fear. It's time someone challenged him. I'm doing that.
So you will come on, set the bell. Are you both ready?
Let's get on with it.
Tim.
You heard the man. Let's get it over with.
What's going on?
Miss Holmes, where you come from?
The doctor drove me back. Stop it! Stop it!
No, 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 he's heard like a custom. You mean no one can stop it till one man is out cold.
He's too big and strong for Tim.
What I try to say, Miss Ruth, but your Tim feels he must fight.
Yeah. If you won't stop it, I will.
No.
I will it. Like this.
Okay, Tenderfoot. Now I'm gonna stomp the living hell out of you.
I'm not asking no mercy. Come on.
Just try to... squat.
Here's one last go. Fire lock.
What?
Are you gonna get up?
I can't.
You quit?
I give up.
Just what? Take it easy. What? You're all right.
Ruth?
Yes?
Boy, it seems like I've been here before.
Now that Granny's gone and you're okay, I'm going away.
Well, if that's what you want, you've got your own life to live.
My own life.
I ain't got the right to say it, but I was sort of hoping that we'd be sharing it. But I got nothing to offer a woman yet.
We're just not for each other, Tim. Don't you know? I'm a shadow over you. That it's through me that you're risking your life.
It appears to me it's through you it keeps getting saved.
Twice. The legend is the third time round fate has to take its course. There's another crook here now, and I'm not needed. Forget me, Tim. Please, just forget me.
Excuse me, Miss Rosie. Hey, how you feel, Charm?
I feel like I got run over by a bulldozer. It'll mend.
Something else won't, eh? In the inside. Why did you make Miss Ruth cry?
It's kind of the other way around, Frenchie. I guess I took a wrong notion. I wanted to marry that girl.
But she does not want to marry you.
That's right.
Did she say why?
I don't know. She's got some kind of crazy notion. She's a hex for me.
If she say that, then it is one big shame. She must be bad medicine for you. She knows.
How?
She has le don, the gift. She can read the future.
Oh, come on.
It is true. How do you think that big tree missed you that day? And now you make Big Red cry, Uncle.
Well, heck with superstition, that's no real problem. What is a problem? Is it a man needs money to marry? And what do I have to offer?
What?
Big Red.
I was just dragging what was left of me in here to see you whip me fair and square and the best man won. You say you're leaving?
I'll be on my way by tonight.
Frenchie, what was that I heard him saying about he wanted to get hold of some money?
The poor devil. He wanted to get married, but he has no stake.
Oh, he wants money real bad, huh?
Hey, there, Big Red. What are you doing so far from camp?
Oh, just stealing me a little breather, Chuck, and having a stroll.
Heft's a new axe in your hand.
This here axe ain't mine. Belongs to Tim Farrell.
What you doing with it?
I got a use for it.
I wouldn't figure him to lend you anything of his.
He didn't.
He might get sore and take a notion to whoop up on you again when he finds out.
He's too busy packing up to leave camp.
Leave?
Yep. Him and Ruth Ann. As soon as you get back with the Jeep. Reckon they think they're going to get spliced.
Well, how about that?
Give me a lift back to camp.
Oh, sure. Hop in.
Got to pay money?
Yes, right behind us in the sack.
All done up in them neat little envelopes, huh?
Just like usual.
It'd be a lot of money to steal. And there sure wouldn't be much doubt if a fella got caught quick enough just where it came from.
Huh? What you talking about?
Just keep on driving, Chuck. Only you take the road to the flume at the fork. I got some plans for you.
What are you doing with my gear, Rex?
Oh, why, I was just going to carry it out in the Jeep for you.
I'll handle it myself. What's the Jeep doing outside there? Where's Chuck?
I reckon he took the payroll over to the straw boss. You drawing yours?
No.
And we'll ride over there and pick it up before I drive you and Ruth Ann down to town.
She's coming with us?
As if you didn't know.
There's something going on. This isn't the way to the straw bosses, huh?
Look out back here.
What?
It sure ain't, Mr. Loverboy. The road you're going this time, I'm sure you ain't coming back.
I wonder why Chuck's so late getting back. I'd like to get down the mountain before dark.
He should have been here at least 1 hour ago.
I suppose Tim is going to leave with us.
We have not much transport, Miss Ruth. Why don't you take a chance and stay with him?
You don't understand, Frenchie.
I do, but sometimes le bon Dieu is kind. And I think that Grand-Mère Brigitte would have wanted...
Wait a minute, Frenchie.
What is it?
Oh, I see it now. I see it. Red. He has the payroll in Tim's duffel. Here's Tim knocked out and tied up by the fork on the way down the mountain. And Chuck is trussed up just below the big flume where it spills into the catch basin. He'll drive Tim unconscious into the ravine and send Chuck to die, ground up in the logs in the catch basin. It'll look as if Tim killed him for the payroll.
Sacrebleu, he must hurry.
Frenchie, go get the rest of the Jacks and save Tim, Frenchie. I'll go get Chuck free.
You crazy Red.
Like a fuck. Ain't no way to suck her out of Red Pelly. She turned me down for Jason while I took care of him. Climb.
Climb? Up to the sluice? Why?
Sorry, Chuck, but I gotta set this up just right.
What are you gonna do with Tim's axe?
I'm gonna bury it right in your skull, Chuck, so nobody has any doubts as to who...
Oh, no. No, you're not, Red.
Ruth Ann, how'd you get up here?
Many's the time as a kid when the logs weren't running, I've shooted down the flume. From the camp right to this station. Oh, I knew I had to move fast to stop you.
But you can't. It's too late. I've burned all my bridges behind me. Now, worst of all, it's got to be you, too.
Oh, but you can't touch me, Red. I have the gift.
The gift?
I turned the tree aside to save Tim, and I held you back from stomping him. all with the help of God. And now I'm going to stop you again. Run, Chuck. Run.
No, but you...
No, he can't touch me.
I'm sorry it has to be this way, Ruthann. From the beginning, when you first come, you were all I wanted. But you turned me down.
What are you doing?
I'm going to open a sluice gate. There's 600,000 board feet of logs already on the way down. And we're going with the first that comes. If I can't have you, no one else can.
Hey! You hear me?
I hear you.
If you touch Ruthann, I'll kill you.
Ain't none of the three of us going to stay alive. Come on up.
You put down that axe, Red.
Until I take your place. Go, Ruthann.
Give me room, Clutchy. I've got his feet.
Damn you, hide us with your skull.
Watch him. He has your axe.
Hang on, Ruth. I've got a peavey pole. All right, Red. You want to give up?
Oh, they won't do it. We have too many.
Stay on the platform, Clutchy. We need room.
Hey, damn you. Oh, you right.
Let go of the peavey, Jack. He's got your weapon.
The logs carried him right down the flume and over and into the catch basin. He was ground to pieces. I'm sure glad you're safe, Annie.
Are you still going?
Well, Red is dead, but nothing between us has changed.
One big thing has.
What?
When I thought I had the power to stop Red, I found I didn't, Tim. I just had to rely on myself and hang on to the axe that he was trying to swing down on you.
Are you telling me...
Mm-hmm. The gift's gone. I don't have to be afraid anymore. It's a new life.
It sure is.
What did you call me back then?
Annie. That's a new name for a new life. And the one that's going to be my wife's. Come on, Annie Farrell. Kiss me, if you like the name.
Anything you want to give me is just exactly what I like.
Think of all the gifts you personally may have lost in your time, and how much you mourn them. Then think of the dread, oppressive gift that Ruthann lost, and celebrate it with her. Sometimes I do have stories to tell you that end with that fondish phrase, "And so they lived happily ever after." I'll be back shortly.
Well, it's all right to tell one lie, isn't it?
You can't.
Then how about lying just a little bit?
Not a little bit.
You mean you can never lie?
Never.
Well, why not?
Because when you tell a lie...
Yeah?
It gets stuck inside your heart.
You mean that just one lie will make your heart dark?
Makes you sad, too.
Oh. Then what should you do if you tell a lie?
Well, should you say I'm sorry?
And then what?
Then the light goes inside your heart.
Oh, the light goes on?
Yes.
Oh, a light doesn't really go on in your heart, does it?
Yes, it does.
Well, how do you know?
Because the light in your heart will shine in your eyes.
Oh.
And then you'll be happy.
I wonder why people tell lies.
I wonder why, too.
From the Franciscans, with love.
Nothing in this life we live can or should ever be expected to be perfect. We can only wish and hope that as a sizable clutch of feral offspring arrive and grow, that not too many of the girl children will be afflicted or blessed with the gift. It all depends, doesn't it, on how bright and dark our separate futures may be. For myself, either way, I'd rather not know. Who needs to live for more than today? Our cast included Betsy Palmer, Carmen Matthews, Mason Adams, Jackson Beck, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
He must have been going 60 miles an hour on that road.
The speed limit there was only about 30.
You haven't arrested them, have they?
No.
But the police were called, weren't they?
Yes, yes. They know Mark, of course. He's lived here all his life.
Didn't they give Mark a test?
Nobody even suggested it. I mean, Mark didn't seem to be drunk at all.
And of course, he didn't say he'd been drinking. He didn't mention the speed he was traveling at.
Well, they asked him. Mark said he was going 35, and the woman just stepped out in front of him.
You see.
He had to say it, Daddy. I mean, otherwise it would have been a crime, wouldn't it?
I think it's called vehicular homicide.
He'd go to prison for that, couldn't he?
Perhaps.
Oh, Daddy.
Go now. What did you say?
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Californians enjoy a very special relationship with the water. At the same time, they're a little more aware of what water out of control can do. Like the Eielton flood of 72 that caused $25 million in damage in a single California county. The federal government now offers a program of low-cost flood insurance. For information about it, ask a local insurance agent or write HUD, Washington, D.C., 20410.
Your dial is tuned to the CBS voice for the City of Roses. This is Radio 97, KOIN, in Portland. Our time is now 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Secretary of State Kissinger is back home from his mission to Moscow. He won't be resting. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Just back from his Russian mission Thursday night, Kissinger has some more important diplomacy on the agenda Friday. The secretary will meet him with Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Dayan. It's expected Kissinger will want Dayan to make a proposal to withdraw from occupied Syrian territory as part of an overall plan to defuse the explosive situation along the Golan Heights. More news after this message. Actresses, like anyone else, often have doubts about how well they're doing. Betty Davis, for example.
I never could bear to look at myself on the screen physically. And therefore, I would get so sort of upset by this that I don't think actors are terribly good judges of their own performances.
How did Julie Andrews feel about winning an Academy Award for Mary Poppins?
A little ambivalent, because I wasn't too sure of my own contribution at that time in Poppins, and I wasn't sure whether everybody was being very kind and giving me the Oscar anyway. Simply because I had lost the role of My Fair Lady.
Hear Betty, Julie Andrews, and lots of other movie greats on The American with Lee Jordan this weekend, March 30th and 31st. It's a star-studded weekend with your longtime favorites, as well as those who are lighting up the Hollywood skies right now. Listen for The American Movie this coming Saturday and Sunday, March 30th and 31st, on the CBS Radio Network. Thursday was the first observance of Vietnam Veterans Day. There were a lot of speeches and tributes to the Americans who served in Vietnam, but some members of Congress are saying words are not enough. Four senators are urging their colleagues to take quick action to raise GI education benefits. One of them, Senator George McGovern.
The Vietnam veteran deserves more than a day of recognition. He deserves the same consideration and the same opportunities that senators at this table received at the end of World War II. I'm very hopeful that as a consequence of these and other efforts that we can see that justice is done to the veterans of the Vietnam era, regardless of what our views may have been on the particular merits of that conflict.
A co-sponsor with McGovern to raise education benefits for Vietnam vets is Senator Daniel Inouye of Hawaii, who makes these remarks.
With this war, I need not tell you, was not the most popular in our history. So when this soul returned from Vietnam, he had no one to greet him. Usually he had someone to curse him. When he went out into the labor market, he found that he was a persona non grata. And now I can't fault these men and these women for thinking that we have not only forgotten him, but forsaken him.
In a way, McGovern are backing the bill for Vietnam vets, along with Senators Dole of Kansas and Mathias of Maryland. Congress has given final approval to a measure to raise the minimum wage from $1.60 to $2.30 an hour. The raises would be given in stages starting May 1st. President Nixon vetoed a similar measure last year, but he is expected to sign the minimum wage bill this time. The wife and family of Soviet author Alexander Solzhenitsyn have left Moscow on a flight to Zurich to join Solzhenitsyn in exile. The writer's wife, Natalia, left by plane along with their three sons and her son by a previous marriage. In Hermosillo, Mexico, U.S. officials say the American consulate has received a ransom note apparently written by kidnapped U.S. diplomat John Patterson. The Patterson's family will meet the kidnapper's demands. They would not say how much ransom the kidnappers want, but there are reports the figure is as high as $500,000. Now this.
To a child who doesn't read, the world is a closed book. Drifting, dropping back, dropping out. That's why a nationwide organization named RIF, Reading is Fundamental, was formed. To help get books into the hands of children who have no books of their own. A book a child can pick out for himself, for keeps. A book that really belongs to him and makes him want to read. It works. There are more than 150 local RIF programs starting up in communities like yours. They're proving that once you get a child into books, there's no stopping him. Won't you help? Write to RIF Incorporated, that's RIF, care of Smithsonian Institution, Washington, D.C., 20560.
George Foreman has been barred from leaving Venezuela until he pays taxes on the money he won defending his world heavyweight title crown against Ken Norton. In Caracas, Foreman says he's not bitter about being detained.
Whatever, you know, I mean, it'll be settled properly. If you make money in a country, you know, you're obligated to pay taxes. You know, I may fight here again. So I'm going to make sure everything is okay down here. The people are so nice to me anyway. I could stay here for a year.
Foreman owes the Venezuelan government $105,000 in taxes. He won $700,000 in his title fight on Tuesday. Doug Poling, CBS News.
965 teachers in the Beaverton School District have voted to reject the Beaverton School Board offer in the current negotiations. A statement this evening from the teachers says the vote was 561 to reject the board offer and possibly strike to 404 for acceptance of the board offer. A decision on whether or not to strike will be made tomorrow Friday. If the decision is to strike, then the time for the picketing also will be set tomorrow at the teachers' meeting. In the event of a strike, as appears likely, Beaverton School District Superintendent Boyd Applegarth says school will remain open, with supervisory personnel and substitute teachers handling the classes. By law, teachers are required to give 10 days' notice before striking, which means picketing would not begin for 10 days if notice of strike is given tomorrow. A reward fund has been established for information leading to the slayer of four persons in southeast Portland earlier this week. There already is more than $1,000 in the fund, which is being set up in an account at the Portland Main Branch of the First National Bank. Persons with information should send it in writing to the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, but tear off the letter first. If the lead produces the killer, the informant can claim the reward by producing the torn part of the letter and matching it to the one sent in. All information will be received in confidence. Meanwhile, memorial services were held in Portland today for two of the four victims, Kevin and Todd Weeby, aged 7 and 9. Tomorrow, the other two, Howard and Arlene Weeks, will be buried in Eugene. Former Governor John Connally of Texas has canceled his scheduled appearance at a Republican fundraising banquet tomorrow in Portland. His office said he was ill. The banquet has been canceled and will be rescheduled. Washington Governor Dan Evans spoke before the annual Young Legislature in Olympia today, a gathering of youngsters going through the motions of the House and Senate to gain an awareness of what goes on in the state capitol. The governor told the next generation of would-be lawmakers that they would probably be serving year-round instead of once every 2 years.
It is more and more difficult to attract citizens to serve in a legislature in the atmosphere, the rather poisonous atmosphere, which exists too often today. Not many people are likely to be interested in serving as citizens or even as professionals in government. When every move is questioned and suspicioned, when very few now really look honestly at motives of those in political office.
Washington Governor Dan Evans. Oregon Governor Tom McCall has left for Philadelphia, where he will make a speech tomorrow on land use classification. En route home, he will stop and receive the Conservationist of the Year Award from the National Wildlife. In Vancouver, rain tonight and Friday, becoming showery late Friday through Saturday. Lows in the mid-40s, highs in the mid-50s. Chance of measurable rainfall 100% through Friday. Presently downtown Portland, the temperature is 50 degrees. This is George Good, KOIN News.